Luke chapter 6. Verse 46. We will read through verse 49. Brethren, this is God's blessed, holy, and infallible word. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Amen. In the text before us, the Lord Jesus asks a vital question of His disciples. And that question rings down through the ages. While this took place within a context historically, and while the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to flesh and blood, yet, by the power of the Spirit, the question that He posed to them comes to us in the power of the Spirit in our own day. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now this question implies at least two important things. Number one, those who were addressing Jesus as Lord did not have a firm grasp on what His Lordship meant. In other words, this question addresses mouth religion. Number two, they did not seem to grasp what calling someone Lord, that calling someone Lord means a full and wholehearted obedience to Him. It is clear that they did not see what Christ's Lordship implied. Which leads to the thought that they clearly didn't understand obedience. Brethren, words mean something. When we call someone Lord, we're not simply using a term of respect, as some today want to have it. There are those who argue vehemently that the word Lord often means no more than simply a polite address such as Sir. It can have that meaning in Scripture. But that is not what the Lord Jesus Christ intends here, as we shall see. Christ's parable reveals that those who come to Him by faith will do two things. They will hear what He says, and they will do it. This is like a wise builder, He tells us, who builds his house upon a solid rock. This structure has a firm foundation. To build our lives upon what Christ says will prepare us for all the storms that beat upon us. On the other hand, those who hear but do not do what he says are like foolish builders who simply build a house directly on the ground without a firm foundation beneath it. We would say of any such builders that they were foolish. Christ said so, and anyone who is a thinking human being would have to draw the same conclusion. Now, when the floods beat upon this kind of house, it immediately collapses with devastating destruction. Now, until about midway through the last century, those who were faithful to the Word of God saw two kinds of people here. Saved people and lost people. But to the tragic infection, weakening, and even destruction of many of those who profess to be Christians, an alternative interpretation rose up that this is two kinds of Christians. Those who are faithful and believing, and who at the day of judgment will receive many crowns because they were obedient. And then those who were believing, but they just won't get any rewards. I trust you see the extraordinary difference in those two interpretations. One gives false hope to those who are disobedient to Christ, and confirms that even in their God-hating lives, they're still going to heaven. The other makes clear that to believe on Christ is to manifest a faith that not only receives what Christ says, but acts upon it. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not, and do not the things I say? So then, to profess that we are Christians without a Spirit-led and grace-inspired obedience is to prepare ourselves for eternal ruin. We are not saved by our works. We are not kept by our works. Salvation is by grace alone. But the grace that saves brings a life with it, eternal, spiritual, Holy Ghost life that manifests itself in a loving obedience to Jesus Christ. We therefore entitle this message, Why Call Ye Me Lord? Why call ye me Lord. Now let us consider the following two heads. Number one, the declaration of Christ's Lordship. And number two, the response to Christ's Lordship. Throughout the ages, there have been those who profess to be believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the very outset, we have to say that even the most blessed saints of God can fall into very great sin. But they do not live in very great sin. All disciples of Christ manifest at times disobedience. But this grieves a true believer, and he repents. He does not live in disobedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. So having said that, we want to consider first the declaration of Christ's Lordship. Let us first define this thought. In both the Old and New Testaments, the word Lord can be a form of address like Sir. It can mean master, as of slaves, a ruler of his subjects, or even a husband, as the Lord of his wife. A Lord is one to whom a person or thing belongs. Whoever is your Lord is your boss. He's not only your boss, in this sense, he's your owner, he's your master. He has the power of deciding. This is ultimately a word that speaks of power and authority. Those who called Jesus Lord at this point in His ministry certainly could have used it in the sense of Sir, and no doubt some passages point to that. Master, in respect to His teaching. But it would be a great mistake to force that understanding into every passage that has to do with His being Lord. It would be a deadly, it would be a destructive thing to do. Christ knew that those who used this term toward Him neither understood who He really was nor what they were saying when they called Him Lord. His question is a rebuke that makes His hearers come face to face with their own ignorance. Why do you call me Lord? Why do you use a word that speaks of authority, ownership, decision-making about you and not live that way? What Christ is getting at is this. Why would these followers give Him a title of respect and honor without taking heed to what He says? Why would we even apply the term to Him, even in a polite way, if we had no intention of obeying Him? A person who calls Jesus Lord and yet does not obey Him empties the word of all meaning, as Christ is using it here. why call ye me Lord, and do not the things I say? Such a person is at best ignorant and foolish, and needs instruction and correction. At worst, such a one is hypocritical and unregenerate. So, having defined Christ's lordship as obedience to His authority, conforming our lives to what He says, then let us consider His lordship declared. Whether or not those addressed in this passage truly understood Christ's deity or not, it is clear that the New Testament writers use the word Lord to speak of Christ's true identity. When applied to Jesus Christ, Lord most often speaks of His deity and His rulership. First, let us consider that God the Father has declared Jesus to be the Lord. God the Father has declared His Holy Son Jesus to be Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, Peter preaches to his brethren, saying, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ." It is amazing in the face of these kinds of texts that what much of modern Christianity says in its preaching about the Lord is that you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have Him as your Savior. But then you make Him Lord of your life later on when you decide to. Brethren, I ask you, who's the real Lord in that scenario? Who's the real Lord when you let the King do what He would like to do? Brethren, this passage says that God the Father has already declared Him to be the Lord. You don't make Him Lord. You either bow to His lordship or you are in defiance to it. At this very moment, you bow to His authority or you are a rebel. Because God hath made Him the Lord. He is the Anointed One. At His blessed baptism, the Spirit of God came down upon Him. He had the Spirit without measure. And He is the ruling and righteous One of God. God says so. Jesus Christ is both Lord and Christ. You don't make Him Lord. You bow to His lordship or you live in your rebellion. And one of them is a wise builder and the other is foolish. One builds a house that withstands the storms of life. The other is one that is crushed and destroyed. He that heareth my sayings and doeth them. Now, Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and in earth. We know that Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. What do we see in this? Well, in this extraordinarily rich passage, we see many things. But shining amidst all of the blessed things that this rich passage points to is the fact that Jesus Christ believed that He had dominion over every man, woman, child, over every nation on the face of the earth. And He told His disciples to go and tell every person to obey Him. Now, what does that say about all the other religions on the face of the earth? In our politically correct day, some of the worst people on the planet are missionaries, because they're taking one religion, this Jesus religion, and going to a place that has a perfectly fine religion of its own and demanding that they believe on this Jesus. Let them alone and let them have their way to God. That's the kind of thing we hear. But that's not what Jesus said. And the reason Jesus did not say that is because He is not one Lord among other lords. He is not one way among many ways. He is not the founder of one religion among many equal and wonderful and inspired religions. Jesus Christ said, go into every nation and declare my lordship. That's what He's saying here. You go tell them on this continent, in that nation, in this city, to do what I say. Teach them to obey whatever I have commanded. There's a presupposition there. Those that are listening to Him are going to obey Him. You, disciples, go and tell them. He's commanded them. This is no suggestion. There is no option. There is not the slightest hint of an alternative. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And He's to be proclaimed in the whole world as the Lord. Not a way, not a truth, not one life, but the way, the truth, the life. And how can we make such an audacious claim? Because God the Father made Him the ruler, the Lord, the boss. Do you believe that? Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. And do you notice here that it does not say, and he that lets God reveal Him? Who's in control here? Who is it that reveals God the Father to any man, woman, or child? The way it's often preached today is that it's man in control. Man's the boss of his own life. He's the one that lets God save him. We cannot make sense of this passage if such a thing is true. In fact, this is patently false. if such a thing is true. But the Lord Jesus Christ makes very plain here. The only people that know God are those to whom the Lord reveals the truth. That's the same thing that Christ said to Peter. When Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus didn't say, "I'm glad you recognize that. I'm glad that you finally figured it out. I'm thankful that you've made a decision about this matter." Jesus said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. You didn't figure it out. You were not born with this knowledge. You know it because the Father revealed it. The Father reveals the Son reveals the Father." And it's that way all the way through Scripture. Who's in control? You or the Lord? We can put it another way. Who is the Lord? You or Jesus? I will tell you that most of the theology that is out there today, while it would never use this terminology, is still ultimately teaching that you are the Lord as long as you want to be. And at some point, you may decide to turn it over to Jesus. But the Word of God says, you will never understand who Christ is until He, the Lord, reveals Himself. Do you believe that? These texts are making this plain. Jesus Christ said, those that hear and obey are those that are building on the firm foundation. They're building on a solid rock. And those who do not are ruin, waiting for the collapse. John chapter 5, verse 22 says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son, that all men might honor the Son, even as they honor the Father." Brethren, that would be absolute blasphemy. It would be absolute man worship if Jesus were not God in the flesh. For any created being to say, "You need to give me the same honor that God the Father gets," would be utter blasphemy. What is Jesus saying here? "I'm the Lord." The Father's given all judgment to me so that you will honor me like you honor Him. Chapter 13, verse 3 of John's Gospel. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands. Chapter 17, verse 2. "As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." The power of these statements is awesome. What we hear today is a poor, weak Jesus who's hoping to save someone, who'd like to save someone, but there are some big, bad human wills out there that keep him locked out of what he wants to do. And there's some people he'd like to save, but he just can't. Poor Jesus. Mighty men, mighty flesh, weak, impotent deity. Thankfully, we don't find him on the pages of Scripture. We find the Lord. We find the Lord. We find the one who really is Lord. Christ has been given all authority over flesh. As he says in John 17, that he, Jesus the Lord, should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given him. We do not have time to read John 6, but I encourage you to go home and read John 6 carefully and see, who did Jesus Christ come for? He came for those that the Father gave him. And as the Lord, as the one with authority over all flesh, he gives life. He gives life to those that the Father gave him. That's the acting of a sovereign. That's the acting of a king. That is the power of a ruler. Not only did the Father declare Jesus to be the Son, the Lord, but Peter, men declared Jesus to be the Lord. Acts chapter 10, verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is the Lord of all. He's the Lord of all people. He's the Lord of all things. Paul declared Jesus to be the Lord in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Now, there's some very important thoughts here. The one I really want to lay a hold of is this. Notice what this implies about the way the gospel was preached in the days of the early church. He said, as you have received what? Christ Jesus the Lord. That means the Lord and the Lordship of Christ was preached along with the crucifixion and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The emphasis was not only upon Christ as a Savior, though it surely was declared to sinners. But the one who is their Savior was declared to be the Lord. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, the boss, deity in the flesh, so walk ye in Him. That's the second thing we want to draw out. What should go hand in hand with this notion of receiving Christ the Lord? Obeying Him. And that's exactly what we have in Luke. Those that hear and obey are building on the firm foundation. Before I go any further, I have to ask every one of us, are you building on the firm foundation? Well, I profess to be a Christian. I'm not asking you if you profess to be a Christian. I'm asking you, do you hear and do what Christ says? I'm a young Christian. I make some errors. That's fine. Old Christians do too. But do you repent and do what He says? The implications here are powerful. They are overwhelming. Apart from the strengthening grace and the love of Christ our Savior. Paul said to the Colossians, pagans who had come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as ye have received a ruler, a sovereign, so walk in Him. Order your life according to what He says. And that brings us to the response to Christ's Lordship. It is clear. God the Father has declared Him Lord. The Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, and others throughout the New Testament declared Jesus Christ to be Lord. This is not something hid in a corner, but it is emblazoned upon all the preaching of the New Testament. Jesus Christ is the risen Lord. And therefore there should be a response on our part to that, as we've been making, I trust, clear. Jesus' Lordship is revealed in the call to salvation. When we preach Jesus Christ, we must preach that He is the Lord. We do not pit His being Savior against His Lordship. It isn't either or, it is both and. Peter preached Christ as Lord, Acts chapter 15, verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Paul preached Christ as Lord. Acts 16, 31. The Philippian jailer said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Paul's testimony about all his preaching of Christ declared him Lord. Acts chapter 20, verse 20, And how I kept back nothing, he says to the Ephesian elders, nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you, and have taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward our God, or repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the reasons we have such an anemic Christian religion in our culture is because in the minds of many, preaching Jesus Christ as Lord is legalism. That is not an exaggeration. I was taught these things. I have heard them taught. They continue to be taught by many. There are those that say, if you preach repentance, you're a legalist. If you preach the Lordship of Christ, you're a legalist. You're attacking the gospel of grace. No, we're declaring what Paul and Peter and the New Testament declares. That you are to believe not simply on a Savior, that you can tell later on to rule you when you're good and ready, but that you are to believe on the risen Lord Jesus Christ. How we preach the gospel makes a difference in how we ultimately disciple those who profess to believe. Listen to Jesus' question again. Why? Why call ye me Lord, Lord? Why? And do not the things which I say. Proper response to a proper preaching of the gospel is to repent of our sins, seeing our lost condition, realizing that our sins damn us, and believe on the resurrected Lord, that we might have pardon of our sins. And when we recognize His grace, His mercy, His love for sinners such as we, we will do what He says. repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this will be the very anthem of heaven, brethren. This is not simply a temporary part of our day-to-day religion, something that fades away when we get to heaven. As a matter of fact, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ now fits us for heaven, because the very theme of that glorious, that holy place, that unspeakably pure and righteous abode, the very centerpiece of all the worship of the saints and angels, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That day is coming. Every one of us in this room, every human being, past, present, and future on this planet, will be at that great meeting. We'll all be there. And there will be one theme: Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now let me tell you, if you don't love that thought now, why do you think you will love that then? Why call ye me Lord, and do not the things I say? If you despise the thought of Christ's lordship now, you will despise it in that day, except you repent and believe on the Lord. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord. Can you not see it? An innumerable host, and they will all get down on their knees and say, Jesus is the Lord. Hitler will say that Jesus is the Lord. Mussolini, the Caesars, the kings of all the nations of all the earth throughout all of history, Satan and Antichrist and every demon, the presidents of this country, and the rulers of all the nations will all bow to one. And that is Jesus Christ. So why do you call Him Lord now if you don't walk according to His blessed word? Jesus' lordship is reflected in His disciples' lives. Listen carefully. Number one, bowing to Christ's lordship identifies us as wise. I've had young men say to me over the years, oh, I know that I lack wisdom. I want to grow in wisdom. Now, very often what they mean by that is I want more knowledge than I have now. But wisdom isn't simply a matter of knowledge. Well, I want to figure out difficult situations better than I do now. But wisdom isn't simply about working through difficult situations. All these things may be a part, but true wisdom is manifested in the lives of those who humbly bow to the Lord Jesus Christ and do what He says. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Parallel passage to the one we've read this evening in Luke. Would you be wise? Bow to Christ. Would you be wise? Then you must hear His Word. And in loving faith, not in slavish fashion, but in loving faith, obey Him. Because He's merciful. Because He's gracious. Because He's revealed His love to you. Number two, bowing to Christ's Lordship identifies us as His family. Matthew chapter 12, verse 47. Then one said unto Him, Behold, thy father and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But He answered and said unto them that told Him, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And He stretched forth His hand toward His disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father. You hear that? Whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. How do we see the family relationship? How do we see the family identity here? Is it mouth religion? Oh yeah, I'm in Jesus' family. Or is it because we reflect the Father? Jesus was the reflection of His Father in heaven. Young people, when you go out, you represent your family. And where you go, and who you spend your time with, and what you do when you're away from your parents ultimately reflects on your Father. And you are either honoring Him or you are dishonoring Him. How is it that you're honoring Him? When you're walking in what you know He's told you to do and what He expects you to do with your life. When is it that you're dishonoring Him? When you're doing your own thing. How much more so our Heavenly Father? We are the family of the Lord Jesus Christ because He, as the obedient Son, has saved us so that we also might reflect the glories of the Father who has begotten us. That there be a family likeness. It's weak. It is often hard to discern in us. Nevertheless, it's there. How do we see it? By doing what the Father says. We love Him, and we therefore obey Him. Bowing to Christ's Lordship identifies us as His friends. John 15, verse 14. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. And it is astounding that there are those today who will fight and who will declare, people who say that there needs to be obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be legalists. Because they simply press home the demands of Christ the Lord. Jesus said, if you do what I tell you, you're my friends. You're not my friends if you don't obey me. You're foolish builders. You are ruin waiting for the collapse. The great fall. Destruction. Bowing to Christ's Lordship identifies us as His children. Little children, John the Apostle writes, let no man deceive you. Listen carefully. If you're drifting, listen carefully. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He, Christ, is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Well, what is doing righteousness? Obeying Christ. Obeying what Christ says, that's doing righteousness. Jesus speaks the truth. When He commands us to do something, we're to do what He says. That's doing righteousness. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Bowing to Christ identifies us as those that know Him. 1 John 2:3. Hereby we do know that we know Him. Hereby we do know that we know Him. We made a decision in a meeting. We wrote it down in the front of our Bibles. And therefore, when we become fearful that we don't know the Lord, we go look at that date. That's not what Jesus says. That's not what He ever taught. That's not what the apostles taught. Never. But brethren, that's standard American culturized impotent deceptive religion. Here, if you're concerned about what's going on with you, just go look what you wrote down in the Bible instead of looking at what Christ has said in the Bible. Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. The commandments don't save us. Obedience to the commandments don't save us. Obedience to the commandments don't keep us saved. They are the declaration that we are, that we're alive, that our faith in Christ is rooted in a life that has come to us by His gracious, regenerating grace. Now, let me say, Don't err here. Don't err here. Your works are not your primary assurance. Jesus Christ, what He has done for His people, that is your primary assurance. As long as He is seated at the Father's right hand, those who have repented of their lives, of their sins, and believed on Christ, have hope that they are truly converted. But if that repentance is real, and the faith that accompanies it is the work of the Holy Ghost, it will manifest itself in obedience that encourages and strengthens us. Hereby we do know that we know Him. Not because I've written something down in the front of my Bible, but because I've opened my Bible, heard His sayings, and walk in them. This manifests life. It doesn't give life. It manifests life. And finally, bowing to Christ's Lordship identifies us as those that love Him. It identifies us as wise, as His family, as His friends, as His children, as those that know Him, and those that love Him. John 14:21, Christ said, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Let this sink down into your ears, brethren. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. In other words, why do you call me Lord and do not the things which I say? Brethren, Christ's Lordship reaches into every part of our lives. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So I close by asking, are you a foolish builder tonight? Or are you a wise builder? Are you one who knows the Lord? Or are you one who has the only expectation of ruin and destruction? Salvation is by the grace of God. It is by and through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In God's infinite love and grace and mercy, the Son of God died upon the cross bearing all the sins of all of His people. He was raised again the third day. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And those that know Him, those who've been touched by that great grace, believe on Him unto everlasting life. They are not saved by their works. They are not kept by their works. But because they are alive by the Spirit of God, they walk in the Lordship. They walk according to the sayings of Jesus Christ. Let us all answer this question before we close our eyes in sleep tonight. Why do we call Jesus Lord? Is it because by His mercy and grace we have seen His great kindness and salvation and have fled to Him for mercy and now obey Him? Or do we have mouth religion that speaks of those whose houses will fall in destruction? May we look to Christ and live. Let's pray.